Forever! Dog!
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh. Culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
We're going to a party.
Uh-huh.
We're going
right
to a
this.
Party.
Well, I mean...
We're going to a festival of sorts.
Can I tell you...
You can tell me.
Full... Just total honesty.
Bowen, be totally honest because that's what people like. They like it when people are honest. They love that window in.
Yeah.
Please
they
offer
love
us
that.
That
window
Give
in.
Us that.
Sure. I don't know if I'll go.
I hate you. I really hate you deep down in my core because this is like crazy
but,
to me.
No, I will go, but I'll probably stay for like 2 hours and leave.
We're going to a fun party, a gay party in Los Angeles. It is called Ospinoff. Now, apparently this is like the fun happening thing to do for queers of all types
yeah.
on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And you are a queer.
Uh-huh. I am a type.
Listen, I feel that we must go.
Okay, no. I'm saying that I will probably panic within 2 hours and leave.
Why panic?
Just because all of a sudden I'm becoming, and this is no shade, I'm becoming a Pat Regan, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want to, like, stay. And Pat would cop to this, but, like, you know, I'm just...
You don't want
to
stay out if you don't feel like it?
Well, I just don't want to stay. I just, like, L.A. in particular, like, I feel like is an even more amplified representation of, like, all the things that make me feel insecure about being a gay man.
But this is but they say this is, like, a party for queers of all types.
I know, but we'll see.
The freaks, the weirdos, the fags, the ghosts, the outcasts.
And those are the types. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I'll go. I'll just, we'll see. I'll probably have so much fun, but then I have to leave for the airport at 4 a.m. And then I have to see my parents tomorrow, and then, like, I promised I'd go with them on a hike.
I can't believe that I'm sitting here with two good friends who oh. I am excited to have
two
a nice
best friends.
I was off. Who I was excited to have a night with tonight, and each of you have like excuses for why
no.
you may not go tonight. I don't understand.
And honestly,
I'm furious. I'm livid.
I'm grateful for our guest who gave me
the courage
a voice,
to say
the
no.
courage to say maybe I might not go.
The courage to say no, front runner for title of ep. The courage to say no.
No, I'll go.
Good.
Okay. Well, let's bring our guest into this because I do want to ask you what you hope to happen tonight.
What I hope to happen is to share in good times.
Okay.
And can I say?
And that's all?
Yeah, to share in good times.
Okay.
I love our guest.
Oh, I love our guest.
A lot. And the thing about our guest is that Joel. Well, so now I'm in Los Angeles for indefinitely.
Yeah.
And so.
You fully embedded as an LA gay.
Sure. So basically Joel said to me, he's like, I'm so excited for you to become friends with Brandon. And I was like, you're putting this person up on a high perch. And then we have obviously known each other, but we truly became, I feel like he's my sister.
Mm.
And maybe he doesn't feel that way. I'm saying it, but he's my sister now because we had a lovely weekend for Joel's birthday. And I like love him.
This is a beautiful sorority between you two. In the Greek sense, soror, you guys are sisters.
Kappa kappa slay.
Kappa kappa slay.
Oh, I hate that. Oh my god.
I opened up a box of Pockies and you were just flitting around the room, just waving your wrists around, and you just said "Pocky slay," and we laughed because that's the dumbest sequence of words.
This is our third podcast recording of the day, and I said, and I do believe this is coming true. I was like, by the time we're done talking so much today, it will not be words.
It will not be merely words.
Sounds and like gay slang from 3 years ago.
Sure,
but anyway.
Okay, so you expect, you hope. For good times.
I hope for good times. And
I hope for
I
good
feel
times
that
too.
If our guests were present tonight, the good times would definitely happen.
Yeah.
And him not being there, I'm like concerned.
You know what? This is what I have to remember. I might not see, I will see you relatively soon within the next week, but I won't see you and Joel.
And I,
and
of course, could famously die at any time.
You could famously die at any time. I just to have this group of people in the same place is rare, and we should celebrate that.
I think that you should. I think that you're speaking my language.
And among these people that I love and cherish so much, whether or not he shows up to the party tonight,
right.
And it sounds like he's not, but it's our guest, and I really do love him
so
much.
And also, hosts a monthly show. It's called The Cure.
The Cure.
You can see it at UCB Franklin. However, sometimes they do a little special one. They just celebrated their 1-year anniversary of the show at Dynasty Typewriter.
Ooh.
This episode will come out after that, unfortunately. This guest is a staple.
Mm.
An entertainment staple.
Entertainment staple.
Yeah.
And he's one of the stars of Bonding, which comes out on Netflix on April 24th, which is literally today. Is today Wednesday, April 24th? Wow. It's today, mama.
Please welcome into your ears,
Brendan Scannell.
Wow. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hey.
How are you?
Listen, did I shame you into coming?
I think the drama of like, will I come or will I won't come is so, it's part of it. You know, it's like part of the appeal of the party is like, I'm not going to go. I'll go. And then there's like the excitement of like, I came.
The question's hanging in the air.
Right.
And you know what like,
are they going to come?
Yeah.
Is who going to come?
Just they.
Just they. Right. Are they going to come?
And the thing is like, you know what will happen now if and when you do show up. Everyone will cheer. Yeah.
Right. You create like a little bit of a question. And then when you show up, everyone's like, I didn't know you were coming.
Mm.
You're going to mythologize yourself.
Right.
And iconicize yourself. And the reason I was so ultra excited about you coming tonight is because, you know, Joel is texting us right now. Joel Kim Booster. He's texting us about the dress code for the event.
Right.
And he goes, usually the only one that turns a full look is Brendan.
Well, I really respect this party. It's my favorite one of the type that it's in.
Yeah.
And it's in part run by this fabulous queen, Jamie Jones, and they always turn just something so fantastic. So I love walking into this space and being like, I am trying to pay homage to you.
Yeah.
And I think the theme is blue tonight.
The theme is blue.
We just got word the theme is slutty and blue.
Right. I didn't really have anything. But I have a costume rack at my house. So.
Right, of course.
Well, some people just have the access.
Like any...
what?
Just really up on the mic.
Oh. He wants you up on the mic.
Eat the mic. Sorry.
Eat the mic.
Sorry, I'm still new to podcasting. I find the whole thing to be very anxiety-inducing.
Oh, why?
Don't even.
Because you really go on the record for so much and like hours and hours of material. And you kind of feel like, what if I accidentally say something that way down the line really messes with my life?
Well, how do you think we feel?
Well, right. I mean, you have like 3,000 hours of, and when you try to do something one time, somebody's going to go through every single one of those and be like, in 2013, you know.
Yeah, that happened. Another thing that happens too is like when you do podcasts and people, when you do a podcast and people know you from it, you then get asked to do other podcasts. And sometimes it's not always, your flavor is not always the flavor. It's actually Real Culture number 18. Sometimes your flavor is not always the flavor.
Okay.
Oh, you please join in.
Tried.
No, yes.
You got it.
And then it just becomes fractals and fractals of audio.
Fractals. Was it a word before Frozen?
Do y'all get recognized
Absolutely.
A lot?
Yeah. 2 or 3 times a week. A
couple times
like
a week.
Like when I'm with Joel in queer spaces, like, he's so famous.
Uh-huh.
It's like fantastic.
It's fun.
Do you experience that as well?
I feel like.
Sorry, I really turned the table.
No,
that's,
and I actually have the
that's
same.
That's my podcasting.
I have the same question for you because I feel that you are like this like emerging sort of icon.
She's trying.
She's trying
and succeeding.
I get people really nicely being like, oh, you're great.
Like love the pod stuff. You know what I mean?
It's mostly love the
like,
pod.
Like love the pod. And then I'm like, thank you. And then the thing is like, whenever anyone comes up and says love the pod, I'm like, oh, they know every fucking detail of my life because I have, like you said.
Said it all.
And that makes me feel like.
Like about your relationships
everything.
And your boyfriends and your sex life and your, what you do for fun. I mean. Yeah.
They know it. Down. If they really listen to the podcast, like they say, like you can find out every detail.
I find that to
be life.
So terrifying.
It's crazy.
It's like my biggest kind of that I do stand up, and it's like now that I'm doing it in larger platforms, it's like very scared to be known. I suppose it's really nice to be like an unknown entity, and you're like everyone's cheering for me. But then the minute you do something, people are like, "Also, you suck."
Oh, God,
no. Well, the thing is, like, I will say this: it's gotten to a certain point. Where like, and that this is I have realized like I host this other podcast called What the Tuck. You guys have been.
I was a guest on it, but you were not the host.
Yeah, I was not the host at the time. I now am.
People are intense about Drag Race.
They're really
people have
vicious.
Feelings.
Monsters.
They're really vicious, and like it's interesting. Like when somebody makes a comment about you as a person, because I'm not on here playing a part, you know? It's not like you're doing a sketch comedy show and everyone's like, I didn't think that was that funny.
Like, you're not funny, you talk too much, and your voice has a weird nasal sound.
Exactly.
And you're like, everything you just said makes me feel empty and seen.
Yeah. Yeah, and very seen. It's
like, there's nothing to take cover behind. You're just like, oh yeah, that's, you just got to me.
Mm-hmm. And if you were curious about whether or not those things you thought about you were weird, they'll confirm them.
Here's the thing that I'm coming up against, and I can't tell if it's a good or a bad thing, but a couple of guys that I've dated have been like, they've pointed out independently, they've been like, because I don't know, they don't know each other, but they're like, We have met. No, they're like, I've noticed this disparity between like things that I know about you. I know so much about you because I've listened to the podcast. I happen to have listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, for one guy, he didn't start listening until after we hooked up.
Yeah.
And then another guy, we hooked up because he was a fan, and I kind of thought whatever about that. But then both of them point out that there's this disparity between things that they know about me and that I have to like
learn about them,
or there's just this thing where it's like they have such a leg up, quote unquote, and I'm like, well, I don't mind, because I mean, on the one hand, it's like I don't have control over what I choose to reveal or share with someone,
yeah,
but then on the other, it's like, well, at least I don't have to think about doing the work anyway, and it's like they are talking to me because they are interested in some capacity,
yeah.
So I don't know, it's weird, but I feel like it's neither here nor there, because I don't know, we're still just like shitty human beings.
Yeah, we're shitty human beings. I guess that's what scares me. Like, people that are like, listen to the pod, see ya. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, so now I know I'm like going to be completely undateable.
No.
Are you dating a lot?
Me? Yeah. I had a boyfriend last year who was great, but we're no longer together.
Right, of course. Uh-huh.
But we met when I was in New York, actually. I shot this show called Bonding, and that was the first time I did Hazel House. And
Ryder Doyle.
With Ryder, yes, written and directed by. And I met him when I was shooting there. I feel like in New York, I like meet guys. There's so many more guys who do so many different types of things.
Sure.
Like, I really, and also, do you have like out of town energy?
Yeah.
When you're like in town and you're just there for a moment, you can create this like allure.
Yeah. So mystique.
Yeah.
Yes.
Basically, we had like this whirlwind like love affair while I was there for this month. And then we, it kept extending it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like
out of town energy is fun.
Right.
It's wonderful. Because you can like wear your good clothes.
No stakes.
Yeah.
No stakes.
Yeah. My thing was, I thought I was going to be here for like a month and a half.
You ruined everything.
So you
burned through all your content.
Finds out I'm going to be here for five, and it's like, whoops.
Is that the longest you will have been in LA? Yeah.
So now I'm thinking about whether or not I'll stay. And you famously did I Don't Think So, Honey, about New Yorkers talking about how they don't like LA.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember it distinctly, and I don't remember every single one, because I was like, yeah, that is annoying. And also, like, there's nothing wrong with LA. It's just an adjustment. And I do like it here.
I think the biggest thing is, like, so many people, they'll come visit, and they'll be like, I just don't know. Like, I just don't know if I'm ready to move here. And it's like, we don't care.
Yeah, we don't give a shit.
I mean, you I care about, but, like, people you run into at, like, parties or bars you end up talking to.
As a stock conversation, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's like, are we really out of things to talk about?
I know. And yet here we are talking about it.
Well, that's because it's a thing in my life presently.
I'm actually thinking about doing a swap. I keep telling all my... I do this thing where I tell people I'm doing things with the hope that then I will do them. Mm-hmm. So I've been telling people that I'm going to move to New York. So eventually...
Wait, with the end game of you being in New York?
Yeah, I think so.
Wait, but you hate it.
No, he doesn't hate it.
He doesn't want to hear about LA.
I really like change. Like, I like, I'm cool. I'm eccentric. I'm not afraid of change. I'm like so many other people. But adventurous. I don't know. I feel like probably the same fatigue people feel in any city they're in. And when I really liked it when I was shooting there. And I've never spent more than like 5 weeks there. So
that to me confounds me, because I feel like you are a New York energy.
Okay. And let's explore.
How do you respond to me saying that?
Oh, I don't know. I went to school in Chicago, which is like little New York, and
little New York,
but also has like a way different energy of because people are nice.
Yeah, that's true. It's it's nicer, cleaner, and cheaper until it's not.
Mm.
Yeah.
When is it? And when is it not? Yeah. Chicago.
Why are you trying to bait me?
I'm not.
I see you, bitch. You're not that smart.
You walked right into that.
Yeah, no, but I didn't.
Long Island.
He tried to push me into it.
Oh my God.
You're from Colorado, right?
Colorado. Good memory. Wait, and you are from?
Indiana.
Indiana.
Indiana. See, we actually have tons of mooches.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
From Indiana?
No, from like Northwestern.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't know that you were friends with Nicole Silverberg from college.
I love Nicole. Yeah, I did improv with her for 4 years.
Wow.
Puma Mama was our team name.
What was it?
Puma Mama.
Puma Mama.
Puma Mama.
Was it Titanic Players?
Titanic Players, wow. Yeah.
They were like the ones to be. Mm-hmm.
Were you like an improv boy?
I was an improv boy, yeah. I was actually very like bro-y in college. I never had guy friends like all growing up. Basically, all through high school, I had like a harem of like 13 nerdy girls in me. Yeah. you know, Hannah, Laura, Laurel, Arpita.
Oh my God.
Sonia.
These fucking nerds. And
they were all great. And like, basically, I just had a dream about Hannah recently. I'm thinking of you, girl. And and so I didn't really have girlfriend or didn't have guy friends. And then I got to college and found all these kind of like, bro-y comedy guys who like, you know, didn't care that I was gay. And obviously, but you know, from the area I'm from, you kind of never know with guys. And so I became like a beer pong champion, basically.
We had the same experience pretty much.
Yeah. I feel like you put on your mask.
I had a mask drag on fully. And then we both were in college in sketch groups that were predominantly straight men. Mm-hmm. And there is that thing of like, you do like you're gay and they don't care that you're gay and they accept you, but you're also not being fully completely yourself.
When you're in those situations, you're like also writing to a voice that isn't necessarily yours, unless 100%. You're like a transcendent, like self-assured writer comedian, which I wasn't really. Mm-hmm. But I still love those boys still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I always like love hanging out with them again, but it is funny. Like I look at my work from that time and I'll be like, this doesn't feel like me. I wasn't writing for myself at all. Like the videos that are online and YouTube, I'm like, oh my God, I wish this could come down.
Like, you know, you can bring it down.
I know, but the thing
all it takes is an email. It's not like that person's like, no, I like having that up.
Yeah.
What
is
it that's stopping me from taking like my bro
your
sketches
old work down?
I don't know. Just it literally, it's what Brendan's
collective
saying.
View. You don't want to lose the views?
Honestly, oh, yeah. What if I was really worried about the views?
It's really in your bio that you're collecting.
I'm like
total
Chess
views.
Club Comedies. What my sketch group is called Chess Club Comedy.
Can you specifically name some Chess Club sketches that you would like to take down?
Yeah, Icebreakers. Remember Icebreakers?
I remember Icebreakers.
I had this sketch called, you were in Icebreakers.
I was in the sequel to Icebreakers.
Oh my God, because there was a sequel. Wow. I did a web series called Icebreakers about a college
NYU
RA.
NYU sounds so fun.
Yeah.
You know, I almost went there.
So fun.
NYU?
I almost went to Tisch.
What stopped you?
Tisch School of the Arts.
Yeah,
what stopped you?
I was afraid of the city. My mom and I visited and she was like, why would you ever want to live here?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, real.
I get it. I get that though. I get that. It is.
What year would you have graduated?
2013.
Oh, so we would have all went together.
Were you 2013?
We were 2012.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Just a little bit older. Your eyes lit up, bitch. You love that we were older than you.
I think I might be older than I went to 3 years of preschool because I was quite dumb.
So, 3 years of preschool? What was holding you back?
I don't know.
You couldn't color?
I think my mom was just like, give him one more. You know,
give him one more.
Have you guys read that Malcolm Gladwell book, Outliers?
Yes.
God, sorry to be exhausting.
No, please.
But there's this one anecdote in it about like hockey players
who
are better at hockey if they are born in January through March. Because
right.
like the cutoff, they're bigger. Yeah. And so most hockey players in the NHL are born in those first 3 months.
They're Pisces.
Most hockey players in the NHL are our Pisces.
I think my mom was like trying to like give me some sort of advantage. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was Gladwell.
I'm 1990.
You're 1990.
Same. 90. Wait, what month of 90?
June.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you are older
actually
than
actually older than, I'm the oldest here.
Wow.
I'm the eldest sister.
What shall we do, sister?
I'm the Joe. Little Women.
You know, I just heard Hocus Pocus 2 is happening.
Wait, is
okay,
it?
Okay, they keep saying it's happening, but it is.
Every year.
I can't give you any more information because I was given the down low information, but.
Oh, you were given the down low information.
Wow.
That's all I'll say. Just be prepared.
Okay, here's a question.
I won't answer any more questions.
He won't.
Well, I'll ask one question, and then if you feel like answering it, go on.
He won't do it.
Is it happening with women?
It's not going to happen with men. three gay men witches.
And here's who it's going to be. It's going to be Sylvester Stallone.
It's us. We can reveal.
It's Sylvester Stallone as Winnie.
I have a couple gays in my life who are like, also, I'm a witch. And I'm like,
No, you're not.
Or are you just like trying to be interesting?
God.
Just kidding. We love them.
I think it's maybe like an LA thing. There's very like, there's witchery in the air.
Oh, there's a lot of male witches in New York too. And just genuine witches in New York.
Not to work in the binary, but I believe the male witches are called druids. And so you should call, these little gay boys should be calling themselves druids.
Well, maybe they don't identify as male.
Yeah.
You're so right.
You kind of never know.
And I think this is the soundbite that will take me down.
Me as well.
And
well, no, they can't do that to you because you are iconically on the red carpet in full gowns.
Oh,
yes.
And I was like, I was fully obsessed with that. Was that like the Heather's Press moment?
Yeah, that was, I was just kind of like trying to live in that kind of, I don't know.
Fantasy?
Like
that fun space.
Confidence I was feeling in like my body and
right.
I was wearing. And I think that like, in terms of most of the clothes I wear are, tailored to women. I think I had never really had somebody like pull clothing for me that made me feel like femme and beautiful and in that way. And, you know, so many times when you're like walking through a store and you're in the women's section, somebody's giving you eyes like, actually, it's over there.
Yeah.
And
you're
like, fuck you. I don't want to. Yeah.
So it's like, but I'm getting better at like walking into a store and being like, you know, I'm trying the gown on and it's for me.
Yeah.
I did that in Tokyo and a woman was like,
Oh my God. They just had an iconic Tokyo trip.
I know.
It was fun. I got really sick though and I lost 5 pounds.
What?
Okay. So it was ultimately fine.
It was fun. I came back. My roommate, Leisha, was like, you look sick.
Wait. You're like, thank you.
Well, you got sick like just like right in the middle of it probably.
Yeah, I got really sick in the middle of it.
Damn. Well, there's always soul.
There's no soul. We'll always have soul.
We'll always have soul.
So you were playing, you were in Heather's, the TV reboot.
Yes.
Is there any way people can
Critically acclaimed. By one writer.
And there you
can watch it on iTunes or on ParamountNetwork.com.
The whole thing?
Yeah. If you have cable, you can just like sign in with your little login and in America, you can watch the first 9 episodes, and then if you're in overseas, which I imagine you have fans, you can watch typically the whole thing.
So you can't see the whole thing in America?
Yeah, there's like some school shooting related material in it, and so it was kind of pulled from the air. Iconically 3 different times
in 6 months.
I know, it's kind of like. I mean, I've been through a lot of therapy since then. I feel really good about it. But in the moment, I was like, fool me once.
God.
So it was, I remember it was like such a big deal when it got announced. Like, and I would imagine that they really, I mean, it had to be so frustrating. Like, I know that's like really simple to boil it down to, but like.
It's complicated.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I never like, associate. I was almost naive to it because, like, my character Heather Duke in it is like basically on like her own journey and like just trying to take down Heather Chandler. So all of our scenes are very like funny and farcical.
Yeah,
And meanwhile, there's like this whole other JD subplot that I was only vaguely aware of because Table Reads, I was only focused on my own laughs.
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
But I think that like looking back on it, it was like, it was so fun to shoot. And like Leslie Headland directed a bunch of it, of
Russian Doll. Fame.
And I kind of think it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, you kind of have to, now you have to be like a little, you know, Squirrel Gay and go find it.
Yeah. Because
it was not wide released.
But sure. It is out there, which,
it's out there,
which
yeah.
I didn't know.
Okay. Which, like, and I swear to God, this, I don't mean for this to sound like, however it can be misinterpreted, but I feel like it kind of gives it this, like, niche culty cult following equality where it's like, well, go find it. Because, like, how, like, because now with just unfettered access to anything you fucking want, there's some intrigue to, like, seeking it out. Yeah. With
it's
kind of
like Brendan Skinnell coming to a party, right? It's like, now there's the mythology about it and you have to go find it and you'll be cheering when you watch it.
A kind of funny thing happened to me. I was walking down Larchmont in LA and a guy behind me just yelled, like, I walked by and he goes, hey, aren't you the actor from that show with all the problems?
That's amazing.
And I was like, yes, I was.
Oh my God.
Okay, you're going to.
All the problems.
That's, I mean, honestly, it's going in the fucked up.
It's fucked up. But that story is going
kind
in the
of
book.
Awesome.
It's awesome.
It's going in the book.
And that's
I will say, a lot of times, like if I'm in like a gay bar or in like a space with a lot of gay people or queer people, someone will come up to me and be like, I loved Heathers. Mm-hmm. And or I was in my gym and this guy goes, were you in Heathers? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, fuck the haters. I loved it. And I was like, that's
the
what I needed.
Really, the problem.
Do you ever feel like I did this. I kind of did it. And then it kind of came out and I felt like nobody saw it. But it's like the people who did see it saw it in secret.
Which is
and I do really appreciate everyone who comes up to me. It's really nice to hear.
There you go.
So there was, you were also on Lip Sync Battle.
Which I lost.
Wait, you lost that?
I lost to Melanie Field, who plays Heather Chandler. They flew in a plus size body positive dance group from Atlanta who truly destroyed my very, basic take on Mamma Mia. Like, I was like, it's Mamma Mia, I'm wearing a wedding dress, tear the wedding dress, and to reveal another wedding dress, tear that one away, to reveal high-waisted pants and a crop top that says bride.
Was that all your creation?
It basically came to me in a dream. My friend, Jared Frieder and I were sitting in my, I found out I was doing it on a Thursday, mm-hmm. or on a Wednesday, and then on Thursday I had a call basically to pitch my ideas, and Jared and I like walked around my house just like pitching things. Like, he was like, you should do Telephone, because that's my favorite Lady Gaga song.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I have to do Mamma Mia, it has to be my wedding, and I have to have this moment where I'm tearing away these wedding dresses. And then I pitched that to them, and they were like, we love it, we're going to go out to Liza Minnelli to marry you. And I was like, what?
Oh.
And they called her people, and but of course she didn't do it.
I don't think she's taking gigs right now.
I don't think she's standing.
Yeah, I think she's horizontal somewhere, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Have you seen that video of her outside Craig's where the TMZ's guy is like, Liza, I hear you've lost your voice. And she's like, says who? And he's like, well, you know, people are saying you might not be singing anymore. Can you give us a little something to prove them wrong? And she's like, Dale, me say Dale, daylight come and we wanna go home.
And the headline on TMZ was, Watch Liza prove that she can still say.
It's my favorite video. And then he's like, thank you, Liza. He's like, clearly they know each other. Sometimes these photographers know the people.
They got a relationship.
Right. And he goes, thank you so much, Liza. Like, have a great night. And she's like, thank you. Thank you for caring.
Thank you for caring. Aww, that's so like
Liza.
From her heart.
Yeah.
That's from her core.
She's like my one. Like, she's my one. Yeah.
She's incredible. Her birthday was recently.
Yeah.
She's truly, I mean, yeah, it's, and what is your, how do you sit with like the way that her image has like, what her image has become now where it's like, sometimes she's a punchline and it's like, well, she deserves better than that, in my opinion. It's like, well, are we just bad gay people to like totally like point and laugh at like Emperor with no clothes on?
It's a thing we do with people, iconic women as they age. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I don't hear those things, or maybe people know I love her so much they don't punchline her to me because all I hear is just like, she's the best. She's amazing. She gets it.
She
also might really not get it in a way that gets it.
That's what it is. Okay. See, yeah. Because like, it's her whole fucking HSN thing. It's like,
Yeah.
Well, Liza, wait, what was that?
The Home Shopping Network. She was like selling things on the Home Shopping Network. And then she's taking calls. People are like, well, Liza, like some woman was like, Liza, I love you so much. I love you. And you've really been my mentor through all the years. And then Liza just goes, oh, thank you so much, darling. You're my mentor too.
She's got this interview on David Letterman where he's like, I don't even know if she's promoting anything, but he just clearly loved her. And he's just like, so you just had a birthday, right? And she's like, yes, I had my birthday. And he's like, did you have a party? She's like, I did. I had a party in New York. My friends in London threw me a party, and I had a party in Paris. I had parties all over the world. And that's like how I want my birthday to be when I'm of that age. Yes. Just be like, I had a party in Paris, I had a party in London, a party in New York.
Parties all over the world. International parties.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
All of it is a little aspirin. Not all of it, but it's like that is how, like, as a queer person, you want to age. It's just to still be...
Also, like...
Like, sumptuous in that
way. Yeah, and also, she can do anything, and you have to fucking just understand, like, that woman is a survivor. Yeah. Like, her mother was Judy Garland, who was the most beleaguered, like, entertainment...
Figure. Like,
probably the most... Figure of all time. Yeah. Yeah. Like...
And then maybe the most famous person of all time.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, and she, for her to, like... That was her mother. That was who she, like, was patterned after. And then for that same industry to eat her and then chew her up and spit her out. And she still kind of, like, you know, was there at the end of all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's still out there talking to fucking TMZ.
Like that old, like, you know, women torch song, like... I'm still here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm back. And I just, like, eat that shit up.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, it's why, like, I'm going to say something controversial.
Go.
Like, Hamilton's not for me.
Right.
Because
there's not enough women of a certain age singing about how time has passed them by.
Yep.
Like, I'm,
I need
that's
that as
what
well.
I'm looking for in every musical is just like, well, here I go again. And it kind of doesn't have any of that. It's like a lot.
No.
I don't know why I'm attacking.
For me, the number one best, far and away best moment of the whole show is Burn.
Like my God.
When she's like, and also that's so well written, and it's such like a, I just love a ballad like that. Like, I need that. That scorned, like, woman being like, fuck you. But also, I am heartbroken and devastated. And I'm dealing with my rage right now in this moment in real time. Just like that last line, I hope that you burn. Like, that to me was like, I wish this was more of this show. Like, I really was so interested in, like,
all I do is watch the women
through.
In the show.
Me too.
Especially because they're like, you know, they have this kind of like feminist undertones of like, and I'm going to talk to Thomas Jefferson and say he should add women to it. And and I'm like, seven more songs of the about, three of you, please.
Yes, 100%.
Yes.
And also, what's Uptown like?
Yeah. Tell me more about Uptown. How do you feel about it? Also, the other two songs I love are obviously
Satisfied.
Helpless and Dissatisfied because you see both sides of it. I just thought that was genius. It's also staged. Did you see it?
I've seen it twice,
So, not for you, but you've seen it twice. That's...
Right. Well, I love musicals.
Yes.
Well, but you can still be critical of something that you've seen
absolutely
multiple times.
And I've seen it once, and I just couldn't believe the staging of Satisfied. I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
and,
I
but,
loved it.
But it's true. It really came alive for me in the moments when the women were the focus.
Yeah, yeah.
In a big way.
Okay, well, we're talking about culture. I think we asked Brendan the question.
I mean, he may have answered it,
but if
he has another answer, I would I'd love to hear it. We ask, what was the culture that made you say culture was for you? The pop culture... that made you become who you are and you can trace it back and you're like, that's where I come from.
I feel like for me, I grew up in Chicago and then we moved to Indiana when I was like six. The most important culture of my childhood was Michael Jordan's Bulls.
Wow.
And because of that, Dennis Rodman was really important to me. With like his hair and wearing the wedding dress.
Yes.
Hello. Still working through that in my work.
Wow.
Cause it was like, I had a Bulls themed birthday parties for the first like 3 years, like 4, 5, and 6 of my life. And was just like obsessed with basketball and like theatricality of it. I think it's like our best sport in terms of like fashion and just
And narratives?
Narratives are so good, and like where the players come from, and like, yeah. So, Basketball Wives will be my next credit.
Yes, come on.
Like every time I have a meeting with like my agents or managers and we go through like the laundry list at the very end, they're like, anything else? And I'm like, I would love to do something with basketball. And they're like, okay, next.
So you were still a basketball fan?
Yeah, I still watch a lot of basketball.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Brendan, I think this is absolutely something you should do.
I know.
Something basketball. Right? Basketball.
Do you ball? Do you yourself ball?
Absolutely not.
Did you ever?
I did, but I never really played.
If you started, I can see
you being like an unbelievable point guard.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're telling me.
If you started a queer basketball league, that would be the hugest fucking deal.
I'll play. I'll be the power forward.
Not for any. Not for any like image or optics or whatever reason. It's just like
the women's comedy basketball league out here, but sure. for queers. I'm sure there. I mean, there are like sports queers.
Yeah, like it's like the volleyball.
Who are the sports queers that you know?
Well, the only sports queer that I talk to very secretively about basketball is Sam Greisman.
Oh, he's a sports queer?
He's a big basketball fan.
Wow.
Like, I think the two of us just like want somebody to dunk on us.
right.
And but that's how like we connect. We're just like, did you watch LeBron?
Oh my god. Why there shouldn't be a whisper network around queer sports?
I think it's like
queers.
Right. I mean, I think it's because everyone's talking about Drag Race, which I also love, and then we kind of pull each other aside and we're like, they're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think for us, I think it has to do with the fact that you being from, you know, Chicago
and from Indiana, which is like such a like basketball
Indiana, right.
State.
Yeah.
And also the Bulls were like the Bulls, whereas like I'm from Long Island, and so for us, I don't know about for you, but our sport that the world revolved around was baseball because of the Yankees. And
Yankees,
the Mets.
Right?
It was
huge. I hate baseball.
Mean, yeah, and I really don't care for basketball, but I think it's because I genuinely feel like who really cared about the Knicks at that time? I think a lot of people, but the Bulls, that was like a thing because Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And was Space Jam like peak life for
you? Space Jam is insane. It's like all of culture watched it all nonstop, basically.
Yeah.
Identified as Babs from a very young age.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I feel like also that sports culture type thing is like such a way to like talk to your dad when you're like not necessarily connecting on a lot of other ways.
Sure.
Like my dad and I now mostly connect through like television shows. Like he'll like text me shows that he's watching that he really likes. I don't know. That was like our language.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that is like
I connect to that. Yeah, my dad was a varsity sports coach. Like he was like football, baseball. He never made me play football, but
football's dangerous.
Football, and I think he subconsciously always has known that because he never, and I mean never,
pushed you in that
direction. Pushed me to play football. Like he would take me out in the yard and like we'd throw the baseball around and I would hit like off the tee and like I got into baseball and was genuinely into it for many, many years. But I recently asked him, I was like, why did you never throw the football around with me? And he was like, well, you never showed an interest. And I'm like, I never showed a natural interest in baseball either. You just showed it to me. And I think I sort of got him to admit, because he kind of said, he was like, well, I don't think that anyone under the age of 10 should be playing it at all. And I was like, because it's dangerous. Yeah. And he was like, and of course, there's all like the stuff with like, you know, the CT, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like the people's brains are fucking melting in their skulls. But I was like, because it was dangerous to him. And he was like, I mean, to
also
be honest with you, I guess, yeah.
Also, you showed no interest in it.
Yeah,
or like,
I mean,
I was always really small, like even just like minute little person.
Yeah.
So there was, I could never like play sports, but I could appreciate them.
Got it.
Right.
I'm pretty good at volleyball, actually. Like I, with my now ex, who I was dating last year, we like went to the British Virgin Islands last year with a bunch of his friends on like this trip they had been planning that I kind of hopped onto. And we were like on an island playing beach volleyball, and I like schooled a bunch of strangers and they started calling me the ringer.
Oh, the ringer.
I know.
Which were they straight, these people?
Straight people, yeah.
Oh, that's a fantasy narrative right there.
Yeah, honestly, that porn is called The Ringer.
I was also, like, very drunk off of, like, they're called painkillers.
What is that?
It's a cocktail in, like, the Virgin Islands.
What was in it?
Like all of the rum.
It's always rum.
It's like rum, and then you feel horrible forever.
Wow. Honestly, like, remember when rum was like something you opted to drink all the time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you drink Captain Morgan in high school?
Always.
What was that?
It was the Bush year drink. It was little Jenna Bush drinking Captain Morgan, and so that then people would.
That was why I did it. I saw Jenna Bush doing it.
Right. Or Malibu. Yeah, that drank a lot of Malibu.
Malibu was like soda. Like, it was much sugar. And I remember just drinking, like, Malibu and Coke, and it was just so, so, so sweet. But, like, I remember before Sweet 16s, we would pregame with Captain and Coke. Ugh. Like, Captain Morgan and Coke, and it was just, like, taking them to the face so that we were nice and toasty for these Sweet 16s to roll around on a dirty dance floor.
Mm. I used to get drunk in my parents – or not my parents, my friend's basement, because she had, like, parents who were very laissez-faire. Yeah. And one time they like had to tie me to a pole with duct tape basically so that I wouldn't go up and like talk to their parents.
Wow.
What? Because I was really into, like, I love moms, and so her mom Carol is like sort of an icon. So yeah. I was always just trying to be like, what's Carol up to? And they're like, Brendan, you can't go upstairs. So they duct taped me to a pole in an unfinished basement.
They withheld you from moms.
From moms, yeah.
That's psychotic.
That's the queerest thing.
But that is how drunk you would get.
Right.
That is how drunk you would get. Like, I remember my friend Nick, we were drinking at my house one time on New Year's Eve, and my friend Nick got so drunk, and he was like the kid that always talked to the parents. And he went in there and had a full conversation with my parents, and I could see he was visibly drunk.
Yeah, and your parents were like, we know you're wasted.
They fully knew. Like, looking back, I was like, unless my parents are fucking idiots, they knew. But I remember like him coming back, and they didn't say anything to me, and I was like, whew, in the clear.
Right.
Like, ooh. But getting that drunk. And then you mentioned that you became a beer pong person in college.
Ugh, yes.
That was my whole high school experience.
Gross.
Flip
cup,
too.
That was great, though.
Yeah. Mm.
Now it's like I really don't really play those games.
Well, of course, yeah, but it's like, I was going to ask, like, in what environment would you have to, like, resurface those skills again?
I guess, like, you could break it out at, like, a pregame party here at, like, a house.
Yeah.
Well, the house you're probably going to tonight, they occasionally play.
They occasionally play beer pong?
Flip cup. Flip.
Okay, flip, see, because flip cup is the queer version of that.
Right.
It's like our game.
Yeah, I just don't really drink beer anymore.
Yeah, is that because it of the belly? Like, I don't want my belly to
the caloric.
Like, I don't want to. Like, I feel like now I'm becoming conscious of the calories in beer, and like that it kind of makes you puffy in the tummy.
It's bread.
Yeah,
it's all bread.
Just not my thing.
Just not your thing. I fucking love craft beer.
See, I feel like I got so exhausted. Chicago's such a beer city, I think I anticipated. I'm like, I would turn 21 and get really into like IPAs and stuff, and now it's like. Oh, sorry. Just so much flavor. Too much flavor for me.
IPAs, I was really into in the beginning too, and I would have them on dates because they got me drunk and then I would like make moves. But now that I'm a little bit older and my tolerance isn't like super low, I'll drink an IPA and just feel exhausted. They are so hot. Yeah. There's so much alcohol in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need like a tired. Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys go on a lot of dates? Are you dating?
He sort of. But it's like, it's in a weird place where it's like things are sunsetting and there've been false starts and stops. And like, I think all my prospects are like.
So you're going to get new prospects.
New prospects. I'm just got on Hinge for the first time in years.
You were talking about Hinge.
So Hinge used to be, you know, like a kind of regular old. I'm a Hinge rep. I'm on Hinge right now. And I'm loving it. I'm telling, I tried Chappie, not my bag.
Chappie,
Tinder, no.
Tinder's like a deathly crawl space.
Yeah.
And Hinge is where it's at.
Yeah. Okay, now explain. What's great about Hinge?
Talk about Hinge.
It's fun. You create this profile that like isn't swipeable. It's like people immediately see like two or three of your photos and like a couple. They have prompts and you just answer them.
Yes.
And I find like I find it way more easy to like see a potential person and be like, oh, like this person seems cool, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. is like so much of swiping just feels like I got the match and now I'd never want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's like a certain like game of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In your brain. And so I'm liking this new take.
Yeah. Okay. I like a gamified dating app. I'm dating, but I'm liking kind of not using the apps to date. Like I'll especially now that I'm in a new city, I'm meeting new people. And so it's easy to kind of like, well, this is something I'm finding recently is like you meet someone and it's like you decide in the first like hour whether you're friends or whether it's like a romantic prospect. Mm. And so interestingly enough, like
Joel has talked to me about that too. I kind of disagree with that theory.
Yeah, me too. You think that things can grow into something else organically? I find that
I kind of love like friends into boyfriends.
I really love that too.
Because then I'm like, I know you and like you, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very honestly, when Harry Met Sally.
But I feel like, I don't know, I came out here and Joel was like, this will be your group of friends. And I was like, great. And then like...
Oh, that means you can't fuck any of us.
Well, right.
and then, whose rule is that? Yours.
It's in my own brain. You're right. I could fuck each and every person in the group. Yep. And I will. Tonight! No. But it's just interesting. Like, it's really the reverse where it's like, you'll go on a date with someone and then the date will be great because they're a great person and maybe you'll even hook up. And then the second date will also be great because they're still that same great person and maybe you'll even hook up again. And then all of a sudden this thing creeps in where it's like, oh, now we've established that we're like heading in this direction and I feel that it's harder to go from that to friends.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it's also like... And that's the thing I'm realizing about dating again as I'm starting to do it more actively for the first time since my relationship ended a couple years ago. Like I dipped in and out, but now I'm trying.
Sure.
It's like, oh, remembering that like feelings are at stake, even though you really like the person. Uh-huh. I just don't.
What do you mean feelings are at stake?
Because like, you know, after two or three dates, everyone's, you know what I mean? It's like after two or three dates, it's like I could really like the person, but just not feel it in that way. And no matter what, that's always going to suck to hear. You know, it's always going to be on either side of it. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like you can, if you're trying to maybe make that transition to friends, you don't have to be like, hey, I think we should be friends, even though I've literally said that to somebody recently. Mm-hmm. And don't follow your own advice is my advice. Yeah. But you know, sometimes it just takes like 3 or 4 months of like not really seeing that person. And then you see them again and you're like, hey, we're like friends now.
Yeah. You know? Honestly, that did happen to someone I was dating. Sure. And I was confused because like we started hanging out again at more as friends and I one night like made a move and he was like, no, like we're friends now. I'm in a different place than I was. And I was like, right. Mm. I have to like remind myself of this.
I feel like I'm like becoming more and more in my adult life totally okay with that type of rejection.
Right.
I feel like it's like wherever people are, you kind of have to meet them at it.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And I don't know. The last thing you want to do is like try to force something.
Yeah, because then forget it. Then you can't like.
But then there are like stories of people being like, you know, I just kept texting him. I kept texting him and now we're married. And when I hear, usually the stories are straight men being like, I just wouldn't leave her alone.
Oh, right. You see her and she's like, yeah.
Well, I'm kind of.
That's how it happens.
Right? I'm kind of like, who's trying to wear me down?
Yeah.
Well, but the thing with gay shit.
The thing with gay is
that there is this, like, I was talking to Matt Whitaker about this.
Yes. I'm so wise.
There is this.
The seer.
He was like, it is this Schrodinger's cat kind of situation where it's like, you don't know. It's like, you don't know what it is until you just open the box and see whether or not the cat is dead.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
And it's like, you don't know if the thing is, like the box being closed is you guys just assuming you're friends. Mm-hmm. And then it just takes one person to be like, what is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
that's scary.
That's the impossible thing.
It's scary.
Well, it's scary. Why? Because of the rejection? The rejection? Because now.
Yeah, it is scary.
But then do you just. Yeah. But then if you're like Brendan and like that doesn't really faze you, then that's,
I mean, it's
cool.
It's phasing me less, I think. Less. You know, mm-hmm. You still have that sting of like, I kind of made myself vulnerable. But also, I don't know.
It's also good to be vulnerable. I was telling a mutual friend
Brene Brown, hello, honey.
Hey.
Wait, I don't get it. What, Brene?
Brene Brown.
Brene Brown.
Brene Brown.
You know, she's like the power of vulnerability. She's like a self-help guru for, for like moms who have never been to therapy.
Got it.
You gotta make yourself vulnerable, and it's okay, this power and vulnerability.
Right, I should ask my friend Kathy what I need.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and asking for help, and you know.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I actually was telling a friend of ours who's going through a situation right now where he feels self-conscious about making himself vulnerable, and I was like, you should never feel bad about that. Or never feel embarrassed.
No, that's
that.
A win.
Yeah, exactly. And then at the end of the day, you have advanced yourself, and you get to know yourself even better by doing that. Mm-hmm. And I always think like that was I think why it took me so long to date again is because my relationship towards the end was so painful, and it hurt so much for it to end. And we've all been through varying degrees of this, that it's like, why ever do that again? And I think it took me so long to start dating again because it's like, I don't want to put myself through something hard, but that's literally life. And you do get better as a result of doing
it. If we had watched like another 30 minutes of The Star Is Born after, she would have met somebody.
Exactly.
You know?
So true.
I'll never love again. And then afterwards, somebody would have been like, you're such a great singer. And she would have been like, do you think so?
Yeah. Specifically her.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think so? And they'd be like, yeah, why don't you come over? And she would have been like, we're dating.
Yeah, she is. Honestly, she became that girl as the movie went on because the script fell apart.
Oh,
I love that movie, and
I do
like
too.
That movie,
but I understand why people have problems with it.
Yeah.
But with musicals, I don't have at all a critical eye outside of Hamilton, I guess. But
as long as it's like a woman at the center, singing. If you give her a moment, like I'll Never Love Again, sure, I can see why that's like not right.
Yeah.
But I will cry. I was weeping.
I also feel like I have some friends who were like, I just hate that I didn't care about him and like I didn't like him. Oh. And I feel like I talked to my mom afterwards and she was like, I saw so many men I know in him. And I'm like, that's like a kind of important to remember, like audience wise, like, you know, you can't hate every straight. They haven't, they're not the ones who bullied. Jackson Maine didn't bully you.
Right.
Right.
I also really don't like this thing of like, because it's a straight white man, we have to hate it.
No.
Like, they exist.
That's actually just, that's lazier than anything else.
It's so lazy. Yeah. And also, like, not for nothing, but you're not going to get much of a, like, Bradley Cooper is a queer ally because he gave Lady Gaga the moment to do that, and we got to enjoy it all year long.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little tapped out on Gaga.
For now.
In this era.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Star Is Born Gaga era was a beautiful era of the Gaga story. And I've really enjoyed it, but I am happy it's over because it was getting to critical mass.
Crazy,
but he allowed us to have
he
that.
Gave that totally. To us. He totally gave it to us.
I really love Joanne era Gaga, and I'm kind of like definitely on the wrong
No, you're the
minority opinion.
We love the Joanne era.
I love Joanne. I love Grigio Girls. I just read this.
Grigio Girls is
you
so
guys
good.
Work with Vulture. I read some article and it was 70, it was her 73rd best song, and I was like,
what?
This person does not understand.
They don't get it. They shouldn't have written that.
Definitely top 30.
Yes. Someone ranked.
Top five?
Top five for me.
Actually, can I can read you my top Gagas because I was
Come
literally
on.
Just.
Yeah, let's do this. Oh my God. This is how you know we have
this.
A fucking Judy in the studio. Is that he's got a list,
got
of,
a list
top
of top
Gaga songs
so
in his notes.
Literally texting my friend
Grigio
Sam Fischel,
so good.
Who is a straight guy.
Oh.
But he loves Gaga.
And we love him.
He's great. What else is going on while I find it?
I was just gonna say your Gagas. You say your top five Gaga.
Oh, okay. No, not in order.
Right, okay.
Okay.
I'm going to say... Oh, actually, no. My number one is Edge of Glory.
Edge of Glory.
I love Edge of Glory.
It's amazing.
More than Bad Romance.
Okay, I keep
slightly.
Going.
Edge of Glory. Grigio Girls is up there. I'm gonna say, So Happy I Could Die.
Wow, that is a deep cut.
Cause it's just like it's a pure like it's like a fun little like drug high where you're
I like
just,
to
like,
give one from every era.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
And then
that's how you best represent.
Totally, totally. So what am I missing? Art pop? Art pop.
You know the one.
Venus. And from the Fame, let's see, the Fame, it's gotta be,
I know mine.
paparazzi.
I was going to say paparazzi. Yeah, paparazzi. For me, it's Paparazzi, Bad Romance, which I think is one of the best pop songs ever. I would say, Edge of Glory, Shallow,
Shallow counts.
And I would say, I'm like a ballad queen, so I would say Million Reasons.
Okay.
I think Million Reasons is epic, and I love that it was performed on the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When she did that on the Super Bowl, I was like, this is a fucking pop ballad.
She was
ballad.
Like, I'm doing Joanne.
Yes.
Yep. I love it.
Yeah, probably mine are Edge of Glory. I love Telephone.
Yes.
I love You and I.
You and I was gonna say you and amazing.
I love Applause.
Applause is great.
And
it's a grower.
It is a grower.
And I love Judas.
I was going to say Judas is in my honorable Judas option. Honorable mention.
Berlin at a club called Schwoost. And she had four backup dancers and she was rolled out in a grocery cart and covered in like paper and popped out of it. And,
oh, wow.
At like 3 a.m. And it was the best drag performance I've ever seen.
And she did Judas?
Her wig flew off and she snatched it out of the air and put it back on her head.
The funniest thing ever happened in my lift the other night. So he turns to me and he goes, do you like music? And I said, yes, I do. He said, do you want to hear my favorite song? Yes. And I said, yes, I do. And I'm just going to play what he put on.
Oh.
So literally, actually, let's act this out.
Okay.
So I'm the driver of the car.
Careful about the accent.
No, I'm not going to do an accent. And you don't need to tell me. I've walked this bridge before.
Unless it's a funny European accent.
Yes.
I think you can do like something fun.
Something, you can do something Slavic.
We can make fun of Russians. That's basically a big thing we can still do.
Yeah, totally.
Matt has grown a lot.
Literally, he goes, so Bowen, you be me.
Hi, Matt.
Yes, of course. Hi. Okay. Do you like music?
I'm sorry. Do you have a charger?
Oh no.
Okay.
Android?
Oh no. iPhone 6.
Android.
Sorry. iPhone 6 with a fucked up screen. Do you have a charger for that?
No, Android only.
Okay.
Android only.
Sorry. Yeah, I love music.
Do you want to hear my favorite song?
Yes.
This is my favorite song.
I love that.
Oh, he played Shallow?
Yes. And I was literally like, I was dying because it was and he goes, I love Lady Gaga. And I was like, I do too. Oh. He's like, do you know this song? I was like,
did you sing it together?
Yes. Yes, we did.
Who played Jackson?
We both sang every word to both parts. And I was
you should have been like, I'll take Jackson so you can be Gaga.
Honestly, and he was like, I love this movie. Did you see this movie? I was like, I did. I did see it. He's like, did you like it? I was like, I loved it. As this is playing. And I was like, it's so funny to me that he decided like the reveal of what his favorite song was. I thought it was going to be some deep cut. It was literally the biggest song of the year.
Do you guys ever like have a gay, that man might not be gay, I don't know, but it's kind of revealed over time.
That he's gay?
Or in like a few short sentences, you find out somebody is a queer person driving you and you're like, oh, thank God. Whether it's like a gay guy, lesbian,
I always feel better about that, but also that fucks with me because I'm like a hoe and I think to myself, am I going to hook up with this person? Whenever I meet or hear about someone that's gay, I'm like, will I fuck them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's fun. Like sicko.
My driver last night was 1,000% gay because he was blasting like Mariah and J-Lo and all this stuff. And I was like, good. I was like, great. And I did my move when I'm in LA because I just do not want to talk.
You're like, here's my IMDb?
No. Oh my God. Yeah.
High maintenance.
Dung Laser loves gear.
And he was like, no. Don't check it now because it's going to be so much better in a year.
I go, no. I was, my LA move in lifts is, I'm sorry, can I put my headphones on for work? It's a work thing.
I have to ignore you for work.
I don't want to explain, and they're always like, yeah, sure.
I'm not like that. If they choose that to have a conversation, we're having one.
I don't know. I just can't gamble on 42 minutes of conversation.
Oh, it's a long one.
Yeah. So I was just like,
What work could you have listening to a podcast?
I was
honestly, it could be. You don't know.
Honestly, I was like doing homework on like someone's like comedy album, and just like doing that, and like
right.
And so wasn't fully lying.
I once had a driver who I got in the car and he was in a full, like, kind of like, it K-hole. Almost looked like a wetsuit. Like he was like a, you know, kind of like one of those like fit, straight white guys who is in like full athleisure but leggings. Mm. And he was just like, hey, what's up, man? My name's Jonathan, but you can call me Liam. I was like, what? How is that possible?
He was trying to start a conversation.
And then he was like, you live around here? And I was like, yeah. And this was in West Hollywood during my WeHo days. And he was like, nice. Yeah. I live in like wherever, but I'm kind of looking for like a crash pad around here. And I was like a crap, what? And he was what? Like, well, I got a wife and a kid, and I'm thinking of maybe getting like, you know, spot of my own. And
what?
I was like, what are you talking about? Also, this was an Uber pool, and we picked up another person, and then a couple. So there were five of us in the car.
Just like all bounded together.
I think it was the last Uber pool I ever took.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't fuck with Uber pool.
No, I don't either. Which is a privilege to say.
But the thing is, like, the saving of a few dollars, because that's really what it amounts to, isn't worth going out of your way to pick up someone else, I think.
No.
There was a while when it first started where you could like maybe not get picked. You would not pick someone else up. Right. But now, that time I was like, there are five people in this tiny little car and I can't do this again.
No. It's just too high risk, especially on like a weekend night when people could be getting in there and they're drunk.
Sure.
Like I've had Uber drivers tell me that they've driven Uber pool and like full fights have broken out in the back. In fact, they did that on
different
Insecure.
Parties?
Yeah, between two different people. Like I remember on Insecure, like I believe someone was smoking in the back of the car and like another person wasn't. And then they got into a fight. And that happens all the time, I think, because Issa drives Uber on Insecure or Lyft or whatever. But I saw that and I was like, oh my God, that would be crazy if that happened. And then I was talking to a Lyft driver one time because he initiated a conversation and I was on board because I'm too weak. Mm-hmm. And he was saying like,
they're people.
Yeah, they're people. But like he was saying that he had seen and had to stop several physical fights in the back of his Lyft.
Wow.
Which to me is, and also that's their car. Mm-hmm. That's another psychotic thing about it. It's like you're stepping into someone else's domain. How dare you be anything else than like mum?
Yeah.
What do you guys, do you guys say what you do to people?
Yeah.
Lately I do because like, I
do
can
say
something
I write
more
for
concrete.
SNL.
I won't say that. I'll usually just say I have a podcast, and that usually like either fully
kills it.
Like, they don't want to hear about it, or
they're like, me too. Will you be on mine?
Yeah.
I always get really self-conscious about saying I'm a comedian because that people always like are like, what? Like positive or negative? Because I think saying I'm a comedian means that I think I'm funny,
right?
Whereas,
you do.
Well, and so now the other day I like surprised myself. When someone asked, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I can say I write for TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, wow, I can say that now. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you know, I have something concrete to say that doesn't sound like presumptuous about myself.
Sure,
it's just
the
facts.
Yeah.
Them's the facts.
I was going to say that I'll say, but like usually the first thing that happens when you lead with I'm a comedian is they'll say, wow, do you know blank?
Yeah.
Do you know Gabriel Iglesias' work? And I'm like, I don't. I'm sorry.
You know, he has his own parking spot at Staples Center.
What?
I think it says Fluffy on it.
Whoa.
How do you know that?
Because I've seen it.
Okay.
I've taken a photo with it.
That's beautiful.
It was empty when I walked by it, but I do have a full photo of me, you know, doing the old peace sign.
Right.
The old peace sign.
They always ask if you know, like, the biggest straight comedians. Like, do you know, like, Bill Burr?
And I'm like, I do know, I know of him.
I know Bill Burr.
Right.
Right.
And then that's just, and then it just stops there.
And then it just stops there because what else is there?
What else is there?
Like, I'm going to be like, yes, I do know Bill Burr. I find him to be misogynist.
Sometimes
honestly,
I just
that
say
would be...
I work in marketing. And it's just kind of, just I work in marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And that stops it?
Because it's like, what is marketing?
Yeah.
They're just like, brands.
And you've tapped into something so perfectly vague that they just lose interest.
Well, what happens if you say, like, I'm an actor? They'll go, like, anything I may have seen.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, no, truly, you have not seen it. So then I have to explain, like, I was on this show that got canceled. And then it's sad.
And then they...
Right.
And then they have to know what to do with that.
Right.
The thing is, like, I'm
usually,
like...
I don't need you to... to support me, right. Even though it is nice for you to say, you know, it is hard out here.
I forget that a lot of people listen to podcasts in their car and watch like a Lyft driver listening to this. Like, I'm learning a lot about not to open my mouth at all.
Oh, no. If you don't know, please open conversations. Please start conversations. We love that. I think...
Okay.
It's time.
I think it might be time.
I think it might be time to move on to I Don't Think So, Honey. It is our segment in which we take 1 minute to rail against something in culture that's just getting our goat.
It's making us mad, and it needs to be railed against.
Yes.
And Brendan Scannell has done several I Don't
Brendan's,
Think So, Honey.
Yeah. Brendan's an expert in the form. So I think we'll go in the classic order.
Matt? Yeah, I'll go first.
Okay, great. So this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Queer Eye.
Oh,
I don't care anymore. It has lost what was special about it for me because I feel that the current cast has become too self-aware.
Oh.
Or they've become like, they've created monsters. And I think that's what happens with very sudden fame. Mm-hmm. And I have met one of them.
Yeah.
And I think this person is kind, but like, I don't know. I haven't heard the best things about like what's happening with them personally from good sources. And
30
it's just
seconds.
Like, I don't think so, honey. This idea of like, I don't think they know why we really like them.
Sure.
Like you go on one of their Instagrams and it's clear that it's like Thirst Trap Central. And it's like, I don't think that's why we really like you, babe. I think we like you because
seconds.
Of like, you know, sorry, Anthony, but like the stupid goofy faces you make when something gets said. I liked you because you were goofy and you're trying to be
goofy
sexy
and sweet.
So I don't think so, honey. Queer Eye. I would like a new cast. I think they should all go on to different projects. I think I would like them more. Karamo, be a psychologist. Bobby, get a design show. Anthony, be a model. if that's what you want to do. Jonathan, go ahead, do your comedy tours live podcast. And who's the last one?
Bill, Tan. Bobby. Tan.
Keep dressing.
Woo! And that's 1 minute. I mean, have we reached Queer Eye fatigue? That's interesting.
I have. I mean, I'm not excited at all about this season because I feel like they never went away. The thing about shows when they come back is it's like, I'm excited to see the cast again because I miss them. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Queer Eyes are so ubiquitous all the time.
Do you follow them on Instagram?
I think I need to unfollow them. Because that's where they're ubiquitous. Really, it's Instagram culture that I don't think so, honey, because I think that's
right.
What's twisted them
sure,
all.
Sure, sure.
Well, they're all trying to, like, you know, become moguls and buy houses, which, you know, is their right. But part of that is, like, you know, doing Instagram in a really intense way.
Yeah, branding down.
Well,
yeah.
They're all coming out. Like, all of their books are dropping the same time. Or at least they're all promote like Karamo and Tans came out with
them.
Like,
and I wrote all of them.
And you wrote, yeah. and Brendan was the ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing
so
that.
So what was the difference between writing them all? What was the most difficult one to write?
Well, I spent 6 months with each of them. I actually don't... I haven't really watched it.
Yeah, no,
I haven't well watched it. I have a tough time with just like... men who don't get it trying to be taught to get it. I kind of want them. But I think
by
choosing to be on the show, they're typically like, I feel like I need to try to get it. And
sure.
That's a good thing.
Well, I think what Matt is trying
and
Matt
it's really
saying,
emotional too. And sometimes totally. With that type of emotional reality TV, I have a hard time.
But you never know what you're going to get either. You're going to either be bowled over by emotion or so fucking bored.
Well,
and
Matt,
there's no in between.
I think what Matt's saying too is that I think they started out getting it.
Well, yeah, because they were just doing the show. And I think the first season of the show was special because it was like a nice twist on the form that we all knew. And I think that they were all just being themselves and trying to do a good job. And then when they became that famous overnight, I think they couldn't see themselves anymore. And I think people, like, of course, when someone is as attractive as Anthony, like, they're going to get a lot of attention from people because of that. And I think, unfortunately, he got a little confused and thinks, this is what's worthy about me and this is what people like about me.
This
so his Instagram
value.
Is entirely thirst traps. And I think that's a little sad because I actually don't like him for that reason. Of course,
you
I
like
can,
him for his rest?
Of course, I can see him. But I actually liked that he seemed like invested in the people and looked like a good friend. And I like the goofy faces he makes when he's like flustered, and they're not necessarily hot faces. And it's like that disease you see with anyone on Instagram where you meet them in person and think, oh, amazing. And then go to their Instagram and it's like just pictures of them shirtless, like looking like not a person.
Uh-huh.
That's like a disconnect I'm seeing specifically with him and all of them to certain degrees.
Sure.
Well, also when people get famous, they get hot. And when they're gay,
right.
You get fit. It's like part of it is like you get, you're like, oh, I have money. And so my culture is teaching me to have a trainer. And
of course.
Then all of a sudden you kind of like lose, I think, a little bit of your I don't know, your
everyman,
your outsiderness.
Yeah,
which I
sure.
But I love what Jonathan like does on carpets. I think that that's like pretty kind of fantastic. And also, you know, he's a tall man. Hard to find fashion that you can pull off it. I, as a short person you know, has the body type of kind of like a 50-year-old woman who does yoga, it's I do have like a relative amount of privilege in terms of like walking into a store and being like, ah, this jumpsuit fits me. Uh-huh. And so it requires a lot more like care on his behalf.
But you know what? Someone listening right now can just level the same fucking thing against maybe. I mean, we're nowhere near as famous as they are, but like I've gotten people saying like, wow, Bowen's really, all Bowen talks about is SoulCycle. Like reviews being like, wow, like,
who cares?
People like they're really losing touch. And I'm like, what?
No,
really
no one has ever said that.
No, there's
I truly don't care about what people are saying.
I mean,
I learned that the hard way because I really cared. And then all of a sudden, everyone said really mean stuff. And then I was like, you know what? I don't care anymore.
That's you have to make the
power
decision.
Power of therapy.
Especially like, you know, they list the thing about the people that give negative reviews is like, well, you listen the whole time and keep listening.
Right. Well, I just
and wrote a review.
I just did like a Comedy Central, like stand up featuring digital set. And I made the mistake of like just scrolling down for a second and I was like, never. And actually when I did Lip Sync Battle, I managed to not read a single comment because I expected them all to be like, this sucks. And also, who is he? Because I literally had no television credits when I did that. And everybody on stage was like, he's nice. Who is he? Yeah. Chrissy Teigen was like, is this my PA?
Oh my God, that's Kyle. That's Kyle from.
And when you scrolled down, what happened?
On the Comedy Central thing, somebody just wrote so bland. And I was like, I am kind of bland.
No. No. See, that's the thing you were talking about before. You can't do it.
Right. Can't. Okay.
But anyway, what I mean to say about them is it's like, I feel like it's kind of like reached critical mass and I'm not sure if, I haven't watched the third season, but I'm wondering if they can still do it at the level they did it, like with the kind of ego that they must have now.
Yeah.
I hope that they all buy houses, you know, invest in property.
I wish the best for them.
Use the moment.
I say this out of really concern for them because I don't think it could have been easy. And I just, I
probably would have completely buckled under.
Completely. I mean, they had like probably 4,000 Instagram followers one night and then 2 million the next. Like that, their fame was crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey chocolate. I've never cared for you.
What?
Truly, I think I've finally come into this. I've settled into this place. I have a solid foothold on this as my identity.
Wow.
Chocolate's bad. You know, every now and then I'll pop a little Ferrero Rocher in my mouth. Hell, I even wrote a whole play with my good friend Matt Rogers about chocolate, about chocolatiers. But as a concept, it's like, I can't believe that we've gotten to a place where we're like okay with like there being like luxury brands around this. You know, it's like, who cares? It's a goddamn piece of brown
30 seconds
brown doo-doo.
Yep.
You know what, you can't sometimes it looks like poop, and that is my big hang up with it too. It's like, if it looks like poop, it's not going in my
15
mouth.
15 seconds.
Not to shame any fecal folks out there, but you know, I'm not that bitch, and I've never been a bitch for chocolate. And every Valentine's Day I'm very confused that this industry is truly getting away with highway robbery because of our obsession with conformity.
And that's 1 minute. I'm not a chocolate fan either. I love candy.
Yes, I love candy.
Really? I love cookies.
Cookies. But even, no. But
chocolate chip cookies.
But you and I are like oatmeal raisin bitches.
Ooh, I don't love a raisin in a baked good. Like raisin bread.
Well, you're
racist.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't really do it. I would always rather have a chocolate chip cookie.
It's nothing against chocolate chip cookies. It's just that they're so often pitted against one another.
Right. Yes.
And I have to go with oatmeal raisin. And that makes me, and you, Bowen, revolutionary.
But everyone has this crazy hard on for chocolates, and it's culturally been this thing where it's like, my vice, chocolate. Yeah. It's like, no,
it's like a thing that like ladies say when they're like, I'm a character. Oh, you whip chocolate out, honey. You know, like, yeah. I'm saying this like a full caricature of a gay man, but just know I'm trying to be a middle-aged
woman. Honey, don't even let me near that chocolate.
Whose thing is chocolate? Like, you know, like, oh, Aunt Susan, like, oh, after dinner comes dessert, and that means we're going to hear it about chocolate.
Mm. Yeah. But we love that for Aunt Susan. Actually, I took a 305 fitness class in LA with a very good friend.
You're already different.
I'm already different. No, it was sweet, but you know, it was like me and all white women, and it was lovely. And we were just dancing, twerking to Meghan Trainor, and I thought,
what?
It's so easy to make fun of this.
Dancing, twerking to Meghan Trainor.
It's so easy to make fun of this. But just, I mean, there's a place for it in this world, and it's fine, and there's no need to take it down and like.
No need to take it down.
Also, you're already there and you've already paid for it.
Exactly. You know? I mean, I can't poke holes in it. But maybe, whatever. I'm just like betraying my own. I don't think so. Because maybe there's a place for chocolate. Who knows?
Maybe there's a place for chocolate.
Okay, this is maybe. Brendan. Brendan, are you ready?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, this
might be like, I don't know. We'll see.
No.
I haven't really prepared it, but it's something I thought
I love
of
everything
earlier.
About this okay. intro.
This is perfect. This is Brendan Scannell's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People with social anxiety. Like, I'm truly, it's hard for all. I feel like people are like, sorry, I'm a little anxious. Like, I have social anxiety. I can't go out. It's difficult. For all of us. Yeah. It's like read a book by Emily Post. Go to Cotillion. If you have a difficult time in conversation, turn the conversation on to the other person. Ask questions. You can so if you're feeling anxious, say, what did you do today?
30 seconds.
You can say stuff like, did your parents vote for Trump? Like just changing the subject and feeling like it isn't this whole big thing where everyone's looking at you all the time. Yeah. All you have to do is talk and maybe have
15 seconds.
Watch television, ask people if they have seen those types of things.
Yes.
I think this social anxiety is preventing people from going out. It's creating this inside culture of like, I love being inside in my house. And I'm like, there's art out there and people to be met and beautiful experiences to be had.
And that's 1 minute. Thank you.
That was beautiful. Well, because beautifully constructed.
That was gorgeous. And also, I came to LA with a certain amount of social anxiety. And now I'm looking back and I'm like, why?
Why?
I was just holding myself back.
The city also lets you be crazy. Yeah. I'm 6 years into it, and I walked into a jewelry store the other day, and I was like, hi, like, I'm looking to make a custom earring. And went fully down the line with this woman where we were, like, picking the size, and she was like, I'm going to text the jeweler. She's also a marine biologist, so she might be at sea. And I was like, well, yeah, go ahead. You have my number. And then she called me, like, 2 hours later, and she was like, she can't do it. And I was like, you know what? I'll be in another time. And fully psychotic.
Hey.
And then you hung up the phone and were like, wow, I just have been underwater for 3 hours. Like,
I've been in this distortion field of nonsense.
You can just
crazy.
Be very kooky and like, you know, those people who I used to be like, you were at a grocery store and someone would be like, are they out of almonds? And you'd be like, I don't know. And now I'm like, they might be. Should we ask?
Oh my God.
That's true. That doesn't happen in New York.
I also am not working right now. So I'm like, just like, I take in day trips, spending a long time at the Americana.
God, the things
go to the mall.
Go to the Grove. Oh, it's lovely. So I don't know. Gorgeous. I'm so basic and I love the Grove. It's so gorgeous.
So gorgeous.
I love going into vintage stores and getting the phone number of the person who owns it, giving them my sizes and being like, if you ever have anything like this in my size, just text me.
And do they text?
Do they ever do it?
All the time. I have like 6 different people who text me. I never buy anything. I go into Fred Siegel, which is a really expensive store. And a woman there will occasionally send me a photo of a high heel.
Wow.
And I'll be like,
you have.
But the thing
great.
Is, like, about you is if you walked into my store and gave me your number and said, text me if there's stuff that I need, I would text you because I do feel that you're iconic. Like, and I feel like your energy and everything, people remember you.
Yeah. You're not
a star.
Thank you. You guys are so kind.
God. And what a star-y episode. A star.
When's this gonna come out?
I don't know. When is this gonna come out? When do you want it to come out?
I've got this Netflix show called Bonding coming out.
Yes!
In April.
Okay. April when? Do you know?
It hasn't been announced, but it's in April.
Great. Written and directed by
writer Doyle. And I'm really trying to get people to watch that.
Yes.
It's like this kind of labor of love. It was this made by this French company called Black Pills, mm-hmm. and it was like gonna be on their weird streaming site, and then Netflix saw it, and I won't say weird because they're all very nice. Mm-hmm. I think I meant French.
You meant
and Netflix bought it and is putting it on Netflix as is, kind of in the way like when people say Netflix buys everything, I'm like, well, that you're attacking me. I really love it. I played the assistant to a dominatrix, mm-hmm. and the dominatrix is this actress Zoe Levin, and it's just basically about our friendship and our work relationship, and it's I think it's very fun and sweet.
That's beautiful. Well,
oh, I can't wait.
If you're listening, please catch Brendan in Bonding.
Stream Bonding.
Yeah,
stream
Bonding.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
I felt like when Heathers was coming out, I had difficulty asking people to watch it because there was so much money behind it, mm-hmm. where it felt very like, I don't know, sorry for being in your feed about so much.
But
now this is like a project where like we did it really flying by the seat of our
shoestring,
no budget, and it made me feel fall in love with the art again.
Oh, so I love that.
Please watch
That's
it.
That's great.
I can't wait to watch
tweet
it.
Tweet it and Instagram it. I would really appreciate it.
You know we will.
Icon, star, friend, fellow party goer tonight.
Brendan. Yeah, I'll see you there.
Yeah, right. All right, this was a very fun episode. Thank you, Brendan.
Let's
and we are now going to end with a song.
Pocky Slay! Pocky Slay! Pocky Slay! Pocky Slay! Pocky Slay! Come on.
Pocky Slay! The dulcet tones of the Pocky Girls. You're giving me a million reasons to let you go! You're giving me a million reasons to quit the show! Giving me a million reasons! Give me a million reasons!
Give me a million reasons!
For the rest of that song, stream the album, Joanne.
To play!
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.